All right, here comes the music.
Music.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings
There's something missing there. What did I do wrong? Oh, from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
Yeah, Aaron himself is also nestled therein. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way, wherever you find it.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I didn't mean to step over you.
Don't worry about it.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, adventures and life hacks. And today, DBR gets his kicks.
Where?
Along a road.
Some road. I can't
just
quite
one.
Put a pin on. Is it Route 88?
That doesn't sound right.
I-40.
Elm Street.
I-40.
Okay. Get your kicks. It's going to come to me some point. Welcome home. You've been on the road for a while, and by the road we mean a very specific one.
Yep. Yeah. It was a bike ride.
Yeah. Route 66.
Yep.
Route 66.
Yeah. Both I think work.
Either one.
Yeah. It depends if you heard the song or I don't know.
Right.
And then depends which version of the song, I suppose. But.
Right. how many people called it Route 66? Wait, was that the majority?
I call it Route in my head.
Okay.
But. Now, I don't know.
I think this is maybe another one of those East Coast, West Coast things, or maybe like a British influence.
I think it's context, because if I'm talking about my path from point A to point B, I'm going to say route.
Right.
Well, that's the cool part. We're on the GPS, so you have to follow the GPS route,
right,
which is taking you down the route.
There you go. Yes, but if I'm talking about a physical road, I think I would say route.
Yeah.
Route 99 or whatever.
Right. And like Siri or whoever's giving you directions. Does the Google voice have a name? I don't know.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
If they're like rerouting, that would sound weird. As opposed to rerouting if you're if you're going a different direction than the computer demands that you go.
Is that why they say calculating?
Recalculating.
Recalculating.
They just didn't want to open that can of worms.
It was a linguistic problem. So anyways, we're going to talk about your adventures, the kicks that you found on Route 66 in just a couple minutes. So,
oh boy.
Aaron.
Yes.
You emceed something.
I did. I emceed over at Bikes for Humanity's Gear Up Gala.
Yeah. And the Gear Up Gala, it's kind of a fundraising event.
Yeah. Yeah. They did pretty well. They called it a gala, but, I mean, it wasn't like we had to dress. No one really dressed up.
Well, it can be a gala without, like, suits and dresses and stuff, right?
Yes. Well, it certainly was that night. It was a good time. This band, this, like, sort of string band, kind of bluegrassy, folksy.
Uh-huh. Beards, suspenders.
Played. No suspenders.
Beards?
Maybe one or two beards.
Really?
Three females.
Ah.
So, you know, there's that.
Well, yes.
Maybe one of them had a beard.
Who's to say?
No. They're really good. I don't remember their name, unfortunately.
All right. But you were emceeing. How was the experience of emceeing?
I co-emceed with Andrew.
That's right.
Yes, Andrew.
Yeah. Andrew Shockhitch, former show guest.
I myself incorrectly.
And he's one of the guys there. He's like one of the head guys, right, at this point?
He's on the board. He doesn't necessarily have a super active role. He does a lot of their, like, outreach?
Okay.
Would that be a good
word development?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. He'll probably correct us.
Cool. It sounds like fun. And what were your primary responsibilities? You had to introduce the music.
Make announcements, which, this happens at the very beginning of things, I'm sure. We came out, Andrew and I, and we welcomed everybody and, like, went over the basics, like, you know. So you paid, like, $10 entry. Your $10 got you a drink ticket, and it got you a meal. and it got you a raffle ticket. And so we kind of went over that real quick, like the food's over there, drinks are over there.
Bathrooms are in the back.
Bathrooms back to the left. And then, yeah, just like a general welcome. And no sooner were we done than like three or four people came up and was like, oh, you need to announce, you know, and then like, why didn't you tell us before we, and you know, then the band starts to play. So we're not going to like, you know,
hey guys, like, guys, wait, yeah. Stop the presses.
Like okay, breaking you know, news. After every song, are we just going to do like another announcement?
Exactly.
And it happened twice where they're like, well, you know, this is a kind of a timely thing. And so,
yeah.
You know, as soon as they were done with like their second song, I like jumped right back.
Hey, guys,
like,
remember me?
Okay. So, and then they got like maybe two or three other songs in. It's like, oh, yeah. And I forgot to tell you.
Nice.
That was funny.
I would imagine if anyone could do that classily, it would be you.
I hope so. at one point... I'll ingest Alexander, who does like all their books and stuff, you know, all their accounting, turned to Anna. I made a really hokey joke. So
okay,
I'll tell you the joke. Is
I was hoping you would.
We did a silent auction.
Ah,
and I said okay, and the first winner for the silent auction is. And I just mouthed words. And like stood there for a second, and I,
how
know,
many people
of course,
threw things,
right, right, and of course, like with the purpose of bombing, and so I could do this. Is this thing on? Hello, can you hear me?
It gets worse.
Enough room.
It wasn't on.
Alexander turns to Anna. He's like, "This is the celebrity guest you got us."
Celebrity guest, ladies and gentlemen. Nice. Well, good job.
Yeah, that was a good high point of the evening.
Yeah. There. Did you get to give away a bike?
We gave away two bikes, two of the four bikes. Two of them did not get bid on.
Oh.
So they will go back into their stock, and they'll probably sell them for even bigger profit. So,
there you go.
So there.
To show you and your silent not bidding.
Yeah.
Very good. How were you dressed?
Bet you was wearing black.
I doubt that highly.
I did not wear a tie.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I bet you were thinking I was gonna wear a tie.
I was.
Yeah, I did not wear a tie.
Okay.
Tieless.
I had a button up shirt. Oh. I had a collared shirt.
Was it buttoned all the way to the top button?
And I had cufflinks. Nice.
Ooh.
Silver cufflinks.
Ooh.
And my long silver socks.
There you go.
You know, my pants rolled up, of
nice.
Course, to show the socks.
Yeah,
but
keeping with your dress code.
Yeah, but I didn't have a good tie. This is how nerdy I get when it comes to like men's fashion.
Right.
This is terribly revealing here. I feel kind of naked now. So, you gotta have the right tie for the collar of your shirt.
Sure.
If you have like kind of a small collar, which if your collar is too small, kind of like this one was, you have a very narrow set of ties that you can choose from.
Right, because the tie has to go under the collar completely, right?
Yeah, and if you got like kind of like a bigger like silk tie on a small collar, it's not going to work at all.
Right.
Like smaller collars, your best bet is got to be...
like string tie.
Like
a bolo tie?
Yeah, maybe. Or, you know, bow tie really is
sure.
The only thing that's going to...
Yeah,
gonna work. But even if you've got like a larger bow, that's still not gonna work.
Uh-huh.
So
what knot do you tie?
What
knot do you tie?
Normally I go with what's called, and it's what it's called. It's what I learned to call it, and I'm sorry if this offends, but it's called an Oriental knot.
That's referring to a style of knot, yeah.
Right? And I don't know another name for it. I wish I did because I don't. It doesn't. I'm not comfortable saying that.
Right, right.
Like
it's like
yeah.
The flavor of ramen.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That or half Windsor sometimes.
Mm.
Nice big one.
And then I have two secret knots that I made
Ooh.
Myself.
Do they have names?
No.
Those are secret.
No, but they're sort of my own.
Okay.
My own thing.
Your contrivance.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. I've always hated tying ties. I don't know how to do it well. And it turns out, yeah, like the whole collar thing, that was me in fifth grade. Just like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, dressing up for like Easter or something and having like this ridiculous tie on. Because like my parents shopped at thrift shops to get me clothing a lot of the time. It was just like, hey, here's a tie, put it on. And so, yeah, it was, I did a clumsy half Windsor and it was all just tucked underneath this collar that was already too small for me. So, yeah.
I used to, there was one that I used to do a lot when I was a kid. It's called the Italian knot.
Uh-huh.
And your knot ended up like slanted.
Hmm.
So it had this like cool, like, I don't know.
Like a kind of a jaunty knot.
Asymmetrical.
Yeah. It was really asymmetrical. Like doesn't
like a four-in hand kind of
veers
off to a side. Yep.
but it doesn't work with larger ties or thicker material. Yeah. And, which is kind of when you're getting stuff secondhand like I do, that's
right.
Kind of what you end up with.
Yeah. David, you seem to know a lot about ties. I'm impressed.
That's true.
The knot you should know is the Pratt knot.
Uh-huh.
It's a four-step.
That's hard.
It's a four-step symmetrical knot that, like, that comes out. Look, but it's really simple. But it starts inside out. That's the weird part.
Okay.
So does the Oriental.
Okay.
Yeah.
Inside out.
Inside out.
Fascinating.
And so does my two secret knots.
Okay.
Sorry to blow your secrets.
Sorry. Well, I always said the best knots start inside out.
Yeah,
right.
That's the damn truth.
Yeah.
But you wore no tie to be the MC.
Nope.
Speaking of MCing, it's going to be on the calendar later. But we're MCing
another
event.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So here in Portland, the charitable food donation Alley Cat Ride. It's coming up very soon now. We're going to be there. We're going to be talking in front of people. We
Get
could
out
be talking
there.
To you. You should come. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not you. I'm looking at you, but I'm thinking of the listener.
I should go.
You should also go. Yeah. So this weekend, in light of recent events, I felt the need to ignore a lot of the media, and I went outside in the woods, and I climbed 5,000 feet to the top of a ridge outside of Battleground, Washington.
That's over near Wienersburg.
Wienersburg, yeah. Or Wienersburg, whichever you prefer. Yeah, up kind of southwest Washington, north of Portland by about 30 miles or something. It turned out I was planning a longer ride, and it turns out it was Veterans Day is when I went out, and the bus I was going to take does not run on Veterans Day. So I ended up patching together a different transit route. I was going to start on the east side of this pass that I wanted to see about. It's Forest Road 42 in Gifford Pinchot National Forest. And the bus didn't run. So I ended up thinking, in that case, I'll just go to the side that I was going to end on. I'll go out and back. And so ended up, I want to say about 20 miles on the road, about 20 miles on road, I think. And then like...
Each direction or total?
Total.
Yeah.
And then 40 miles. No, wait. Was it about 60 miles? Yeah, 40 miles maybe on gravel, I think. There's a lot of gravel riding, like more than it seemed like. And for the first time, I decided not to put anything in my ears. Like, usually I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I felt I just wanted to have, like, I don't know, the woods in my ears.
Yep.
And so I did. And I was surprised at how, like, transporting that was to be out in the woods, and instead of like thinking about whatever podcast I was listening to, because I'm a huge podcast fan, I was just thinking about, strangely enough, like songs got stuck in my head. Brain radio, like you call it.
Yep.
Or it's just like, you know, that why is this song on in my head? I did not ask this to play. It's on anyways. It's kind of what happened to me mostly.
So do you know what kind of music built the city?
I heard it was like bluegrass or something.
I don't think so.
Wait, are you saying that we built this city on rock and roll?
That's what I heard.
there's an old factory that burned down, and they made canned rolls, but they got shut down by the health department because they didn't cook them first. So we built this city on raw canned rolls.
Oh.
Tell me you made that up on the spot.
Yes.
No, just say yes.
Yes.
Just say yes. I don't want to know any different. I'm tired of knowing the truth.
Yeah. The truth sucks.
Well, here's something you can believe in. The woods outside of Battleground, Washington are beautiful, and there's a lot of forest out there.
42 has actually been one that I've been drawing maps on for a while now, so I was really excited when I saw that you were posting photos up and saying, yeah, this is
right.
A great road. Because, yeah, there's some That's over kind of like foothills of Adams, basically?
On the way.
Yeah.
There's a couple of ridges between that and Mount Adams, but okay. It's very close to Silver Star Mountain. If anybody's been out there, that's
a
local.
Why does that sound familiar?
It's a local kind of landmark. You can see Silver Star Mountain from Portland area.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite places to go and like do an overnight hike or something when I can. I haven't done it for years, but...
There's a creek up there that I was, I think it's like Jerk Creek or something. Not Idiot Creek over here, but there's a different one. I can't remember what it was called.
Landmark names, yeah.
Yeah, just stupid thing at the end of some forest road.
Right. So it turns out, like, climbing, the elevation was something like 4,000 feet at the top. And it turns out that sucks, like, when you're trying to climb 4,000 feet.
Oh, 4,000.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, sorry. We're speaking to the man.
That's asinine. I apologize.
In one day on a weekend when you're not used to it.
Yep.
That's
still a proper climb.
No, it was, but I think like there were some 13% grades and that sort of like really, really steep shit.
Oh,
it was like
on gravel, that sucks.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're out of shape and you haven't done as much, like, yeah, that's what it was like for me. And I kept thinking, like, I don't know. I'm not going to do the whole thing, obviously. And I don't know if I'm going to make it to the top. I didn't want to, like, push myself if it didn't feel good. Because I was thinking, like, at some point, my lungs or my heart or something is going to give out. I'm going to, like, fall down in the middle of the woods. It just felt, like, ridiculous. But I kept thinking to myself, what would Adele do? Because my wife is...
That's hilarious.
She's a super badass person who is really into pushing herself and really into doing things that don't seem like they're possible to do. You know, like she'll go out and do a ride and then she'll come back and tell me, yeah, I climbed up this place. And I'll be like, you did that on your own? Like just because you wanted to? Yep.
Just this afternoon?
Yep, exactly. And so I kept asking myself, well, there's like a lake on the map where it seems like it's the top. And, you know, if Adele was out here, she'd go find that lake. Because I also wanted to see the lake.
Right.
Turns out, spoilers, you go to the top, you can't see
the lake.
The lake
is dried up. Oh.
No, it's like this like cinder cone. It might be like a miniature like crater lake situation or something.
Uh-huh.
There's a big depression up there. And so the road doesn't go directly by the lake. And everywhere I went on the road, I couldn't quite get a glimpse of the lake's water. If you explored
and
longer.
Was there any trail that veered off?
Not that I could see. Yeah. There's a bunch of elk hunters out there. And I'm sure they were finding trails down to the lake and stuff. I'm trying to remember. I wore some reflective vest at some point because I was really I was worried about like speeding through someone's like sights as they were hoping to find their prize elk. So,
you're about as tall as an elk,
right?
Like, on your bike?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I could see that.
And the antlers.
Yeah, I don't tell people
that. You should maybe take the antlers off your helmet.
Yeah. I can't.
Okay.
Those actually go. It's a specially made helmet. That's why it is radio.
Yeah, exactly. Brain radio. So it was a good ride, anyways. It was worth doing, and I think I don't know. I think it's nice sometimes just to go and ride somewhere wherever you like to ride and whatever you like to do. You know, push yourself just a little bit harder and feel different feelings. It feels good. So, yeah, that was what I did on Friday. And then it rained and I stayed indoors after that.
Which is fair. Yeah.
Did a lot of genealogical research.
So, you know, I pick up some of my students at a hospital.
Oh, yes. Your school bus. You pick them up and take them to school.
And so you check in with the receptionist. And the receptionist, I had this conversation with her today. She's like, so, because she knows I ride my bike. She's like, so when it's like this, do you go out and ride? And I said, for fun?
That's a good clarification. Very good clarification.
But I did say, yeah, I ride to work. You know, I don't necessarily give myself a choice. And she's like, I guess, you know, If you don't go out in the rain, I guess you're just not going to go out at all.
Right.
I was like, yeah, right. Exactly. We live in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. It's our lot in life.
For sure.
Part of it. Yeah.
Well, speaking of rain, I'm curious. Well, rain and dark because
today's the
savings
first day
time, right?
I noticed.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. Like riding away from work, it's dark and it's only – we're all bitching and complaining. And Phil in Alaska is like, it's been dark for my entire life.
Right.
But,
this is the last 3 months.
But no, it's like that shift. This is the shift where like daylight savings time just engages. It's on now, right?
Yes.
And then daylight savings time is off in the summer? Or is it vice versa?
I couldn't tell you.
I always forget. Don't worry about it.
All I know is Arizona is in a different time zone than us.
That's right. All the time.
Well, effectively, they're in a different time zone than us now because we just switched.
Oh, right. And they don't.
Oh, normally they're in Pacific.
They don't do daylight savings time. So
right.
In the
okay.
summer, they are essentially in Pacific time zone.
So then
zone.
We have to be in daylight savings time then, right?
I forget. But I always thought, it doesn't matter. Anyways, something changed about a social convention regarding time and the sunset and sunrise, and now it's dark earlier.
Much earlier.
Yeah,
so it was like, 4:45, and
yeah.
I was like noticing how dusky it was.
So how's that going for you?
My thought actually pulling out of the bus yard
on your bike or in the bus?
Bike. Okay. No, on my bike.
Leaving work.
This evening was time to get out the vitamin D.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I mean, it's just like I was thinking to myself, like, I hate this time of year. And I don't really hate this time of year, but I maybe hate the time where, like, you have to transition to a new thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it being dark. I kind of look forward to the countdown. In a way, like, if I can just make it to the solstice.
Right, right. Yeah, the 21st of December.
And then it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
One of my high holy days.
Well, like six weeks?
Longer days are coming. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, very soon. So, anyways, I'm glad that, get that vitamin D, man.
Yeah, I still have plenty. Thank
very
you.
Good. Very good. Oh, wait, I gave you some, right? Last
right?
year. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I should get some, too. Well, this is where there would be a seamless transition, but my brain just got blocked. So I'm just going to say.
Speaking of getting sun and vitamin
right.
D, I bet you got a lot of vitamin D on your ride.
Yeah. Way to bail me out, man.
Yes!
Good job.
Yeah,
look at that.
Ooh, tan lines.
This is actually faded pretty badly. I had the finger tan lines as well.
Oh, nice.
For the fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
And I got the Fred lines as well.
Fred lines. You mean like.
Where the shorts end.
Okay, sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, you spend 3 weeks riding through the desert. Well, I mean, I guess it wasn't 3 weeks in the desert, but yeah. The sun exists.
In the sun, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And all the like sun tanning and whatnot.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it was, the first couple of days were actually fairly overcast and
okay.
whatnot. And then after that, it was actually pretty, I missed all the crazy, you know, hailstorms and shit in New Mexico.
That's good.
Which was good. But, yeah.
So, tell me about, you decided to ride Route 66. How did you, or Route 66.
Yeah.
How did you, eat your heart out, Tim Mooney. How did you, how did you decide to do this?
It's been on my agenda, since it kind of like, they was announced like a year and a half before it started or so, kind of, hey, let's do this thing. And I said, okay, that sounds interesting.
So an organized race?
Yeah. Like, you know, I think the website went up or a Facebook page or something. And, you know, having kind of been slowly moving towards longer distance rides and this sort of thing.
By slowly, you mean the Steens Mazama 1000?
Well, that one actually came about after this one was already on my radar.
Okay.
Like, that one was conceived, organized, and happened as this one was, you know, still kind of off in the distance. Like, I originally thought 66 would be the first, you know, kind of ultra thing I would, you know, go for. So it's kind of on the agenda, and then... you know, even, you know, going through the end of August, it was, I'm not sure if it's going to work logistically, but, you know, people are sending messages going, you know, hey, are you doing this? I'm like, well, I haven't admitted I'm not going to do it yet.
Haven't denied it.
Yeah. I haven't said no, but I haven't made any plans how I'm actually going to manage it. And then found myself, without gainful employment and said, and as that came about, kind of that was, okay, yeah, I'm going to go ride my bike.
It's a good time to go out and do something long distance.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I don't have a job to worry about, like, anymore. Okay,
right.
Okay, yeah, I can go ride my bike forever. That'll be great.
Yeah. So was this the same style as the Steens Mazama and other things? Was it an unsupported bicycle touring race sort of thing?
Unsupported single speed bike pack or single stage.
Okay, not single speed.
Yeah, there was one guy who did attempted on a fixie.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Fixie Dave. He made it to, I think, Santa Fe-ish before several factors conspired against him.
Yeah, that's intense. One of them being that he was on a fixie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that wasn't.
I mean, no love lost on the fixie crowd. Like, that, it's a super cool attempt.
Yeah,
but it does seem like that's so much more challenging than something with gears on it.
Yeah. Well, and he was actually running a pretty eye ratio as well.
Okay.
And all that, I mean, the climbing, I just, I was actually, Jesus Christ, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was, that was, that was really cool to see. But yeah, race started at 5 a.m. in Chicago on October 1st and went until, well, I guess technically the race was canceled, but, you know,
technically.
Yeah.
Really? What happened?
Well, the goddamn internet happened.
Okay.
the internet canceled all races?
Sort of. well, so over the first 3 days, you know, we're going through Illinois and Missouri. And, you know, the road, you're on, you know, 66 isn't, you know, one road anymore. It's
kind of broken up into a bunch of different roads.
Right.
Have you ever seen the movie Cars? And actually, it's kind of like that.
Yeah, actually, you know, that's one of the Pixar films
like
I haven't caught yet.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah.
It's
that, there's a, the movie, there's a bunch of cars.
Yes.
In the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and it turns out riding through an old classic motor highway that's since been left to rot, you know, they haven't added, you know, bike lanes and shit.
Sure.
Or, you know, margins for a lot of it. So there was some trying riding, and especially once you got to St. Louis, it got really tricky, you know, I mean, depending on the time of day. You know, I was trying to ride out of town, and apparently there's only one way out of town that doesn't involve a bridge, and it's this road that has no margin. It's just like this shitty little drainage ditch with, like, broken glass in it. No sidewalk.
So, yeah.
And it's a good, you know, 20 miles or so, I think it was Route 100 or so, if anybody knows the geography. But out towards Wildwood or some town, which is the first cool town I had seen in a long time. But you're just trying to push through this, and it's just, I mean, it was trying riding, put it that way. I mean,
yeah.
You're in close quarters with high speed traffic, and people who aren't used to really seeing you. And then over the first 3 days, like, three people ended up getting hit. I mean, one guy got hit, and then the French guy, Sofane, then did another couple hundred miles. One guy got hit by somebody who dropped a bottle and went to go pick it up and drove into somebody.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Another guy got rear-ended. The recumbent guy got rear-ended by a drunk guy. And,
are any of these fatalities?
No.
Okay. Injuries, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, one guy had to go to the hospital. I think it was some sort of pelvis issue. That was the guy who may get hit. I think it was like Lebanon, Missouri or Springfield or something.
Okay.
The guy who dropped something and then drove into a cyclist. The guy on the recumbent was more or less fine, but the bike was totaled. And then Sofane, the first guy to get hit, was he kept riding for a few hundred miles and then called it. Just, nah, I'm not going to keep doing this. But
wasn't feeling it.
Well, I mean, when you set up for one of these, I mean, there's always going to be a certain level of, you know, dropping, you know, or just taking a scratch, whether it's not prepared, off pace, you know, body issues or whatever. There's always going to be some element of that. This one, especially because we're all connected in, like, you know, group on the internet or whatever, and information was getting communicated back of, hey, be careful of Highway AB in Missouri, which I rode at midnight and it was totally fine. But then there were the folks who were riding through it, you know, bar 30 on like a Saturday night, or I guess a Saturday. Yeah, I guess it was the Saturday night because that was just after St. Louis or so. The fast guys were hitting it. Anyway, like, a lot of it really came down to time of day. Then a few folks in the back apparently kind of, it became a kind of feedback loop for them of, this is dangerous. These roads are not necessarily fun to ride on at certain times of day. I mean, like, there were sections where the margin was literally 6 inches, and then it would turn into a rumble strip, and it's a 55-mile-an-hour road that is connecting two major towns. On day three, right after I passed Bourbon, Missouri, which is cool. I mean, the coolest thing about Bourbon is that the high school is called Bourbon High School.
Right.
And they have a water tower that just says Bourbon on it, which is, those are both awesome.
It's kind of like Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But it really exists.
Right.
And I made it, you know, a few miles down the road. And then over the course of, like, right around 3:30 or so, you know, had this hour where, you know, got rolled coal on three times, had a flat tire, and just still getting close past, you know, just like, it really, I mean, I say that was the closest I came to, you know, quitting, and really that was more just like 30% entertaining the possibility, you know, it was, you know, just making jokes about throwing that bike into the ocean when I got to California.
There you go.
Take it.
Yeah.
New game. Who can throw their bike the furthest into the ocean when we get to the pier? that was a real thing I had. And,
right. You said, so rolling coal, it's like when a big truck passes you and like jams the gas and like makes a big cloud.
It spews diesel smoke at you.
Three times, you said?
Three times in an hour.
In an hour. Okay. Yeah. So do you have a total count? Like, did that happen to you much?
A bunch. Mostly in Missouri.
Okay.
A few times, after that. But, it became a kind of a joke. Nathan Jones at one point proposed the drinking game.
Where shot for every time it happens?
Shot for every... there's a whole set of rules, which I'm pretty sure he typed up rather sleep-deprived.
As he would,
But anyway, I at one point kind of got to a hotel in Chandler, Oklahoma, severe thunderstorm warnings coming in, and I'm like, I'm not going to fuck with a severe thunderstorm in Oklahoma.
Sure.
I'll get a room. Had caught up to another racer, and turns out rooms are really cheap along 66, which
there
is
you
nice.
Go.
But, I just kind of had a little bottle of whiskey that I've been carrying. I was like, all right, Nathan Jones drinking game, pour that. Because, it's you're riding through, farm ranching country.
Right.
And it's just, folks from different walks of life who aren't used to seeing you, who perhaps, blah, blah, blah.
Like, hey, this sign of aggression will be funny.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, you hope that somebody who's doing that isn't really kind of fully viewing you as a person at that point. And normally you're hoping people do root for you, you hope that people do kind of view you as a person. But in this case, it's like, I hope that you're not doing this and, thinking that, realizing that there's an actual thinking human here.
Right.
Because that really just makes you suck. But
anyway,
it's kind of sociopathic thinking.
Right. Exactly. Right. But anyway, like the section from St. Louis to Oklahoma City or so was pretty trying. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it actually starts feeling like what you imagine 66 would be.
Okay.
You start going through like the, crazy burned out towns and everything.
Yeah. So talk about that a little bit. Like what was, if there is an average town on Route 66, what did you encounter when you found these towns?
I wouldn't say there's an average, but okay. I mean, there are towns you roll through that you can tell like used to be places and then just aren't anymore. And there'll be, you see a lot of kind of decaying structures and whatnot. There are some towns that are still hanging on to it, and the entire town exists as like a, let's say a tourist trap, where it's get a 66 pin and a shirt and a plate. It's all 66 kitsch.
A commemorative spoon.
Yep. All the whole thing. And then there are some that are just like actually, ghost towns.
Like no one's there.
Right. And then there was the one ghost town where we rolled up and there were actually people there.
Were ghosts.
No, Amboy, California. It turns out the guy who owns Juan Paulo Chicken bought the whole town.
Really?
Like a few years ago. This is one with like Roy's Hotel, which is like some, it's one of the more famous like little towns. It's in the middle of fucking Mojave, so it's like nothing there.
Yeah.
Like there's no water. They used to train in water, and now it's just bottles. It's also water.
Now they truck it in. Yeah.
They put 40 through, and 40 goes, it's about 10 miles or so off the way, so just there's no reason to go there anymore.
Yeah.
He's in the process of kind of doing it. But we roll up at midnight and expecting nobody to be there. And instead there's three locals. And the town is like population 8. So finding 3 people in one place is atypical.
Yeah.
Right.
As it is.
It's almost half of everybody.
Right. And they're all kind of, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
I just rode my bike. They're in the store. I'm like, hey, are you guys open? They're like, no. I'm like, well, can I buy some stuff? They go, okay.
Sure.
Get some cookies and, soda or whatever. So you guys know you're 50 miles from like anything, right? Yeah. Where are you staying tonight? I don't know. We're hoping to get to Barstow. Yeah, but that's like 50 miles down the road. He's like, go sleep in the hangar.
They have a hangar.
What? There's an old like airplane hangar around the back, which, okay, you don't get that offer every day.
Right.
Yeah. We'll go. I'll take you up on that.
Very cool.
And one of two times that I get to sleep in like within four walls and but no roof.
Oh, there you go.
camp out, you know, with a wind block, but you know, still full view of the sky. Which
and the wind block is kind
of
a cool.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually pretty nice. First time was in a burned out gas station. like showed up at 2 a.m. and yeah, okay, I'll stay here. Found a tiled section. It was nice.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me think of the Postman a little bit with Kevin Costner.
I'm
finding places to. Okay. Yeah. He had a horse, not a bike, but.
Same sort of idea. Yeah. My horse has no legs, but...
You're right. But look at your horse. Your horse is amazing.
God damn it.
Speaking of brain radio.
I did...
Kind of dropped that into the end of the show.
Yeah, that one did show up a couple times along the way. Because I saw a really fucking great horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Oh, that horse is pulling off brown and black just right.
Can't argue with that. Yeah, what was your kind of operating mode for this race? Obviously, you're trying to place somehow.
Yeah,
Like, were you? Did you have a rhythm to the day, or did you just kind of go until you felt hungry? Obviously, part of it was supplying and what was available.
Right. It kind of evolved as time went on. You know, week one, I was pushing pretty hard, running kind of like low teens or so. And then after the race was, you know, quote unquote canceled, and we all said, "Nah, fuck that. See you in California." And I think the official phrase ended up being like, "Oh no, we declined the cancellation," you know, kept going. But for some, as people did end up dropping out for, you know, body reasons, for holy shit, New Mexico is hard reasons or whatever, kind of ended up finding myself in a place where there weren't that many folks around. Like me, I ended up riding with James Folsom, who, you know, from here in Portland,
and he did. The Steens.
He was also, Zama 1000, he was also on Steens.
The name that I remember from that. He's he's a big performer.
Yeah. I mean,
performance bicyclist, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a shitload of miles. He pedicabs and shit.
Yeah.
He recently just, like, his warm up ride for this was just, hop on down to California. Why not?
Was he a Trans Am race guy, too?
I don't think he's done Trans Am
yet.
But, I mean, he's done lots of touring. Like,
yeah.
He did Portland to Portland. So has spent plenty of time on a bike.
Nice.
And he wasn't really there so much to race as I mean, in his words, I mean, you're still doing 120 a day or so. But yeah, I rode with him a little bit on day three after that little, the 1 hour with the coal rolling, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then we got separated again and I was up in front and he caught up to me in Gallup, New Mexico. After having put in a couple big days on days that I put in shorter days. But anyway, as far as like mode goes, the original goal was, just do 200 miles a day. That sounds fine, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, and there's no, I haven't found a way to start these with, you know, without kind of that kind of cocky, why not thing. Because you kind of have to go for that.
Sure.
At some level.
Like, and find your limits first.
Right. Well, you know, day one I did, 235 or so in about 22 hours, 23 hours, something like that.
So that's a big push.
Yeah, I mean, that was, and of course that was Illinois, so it was flat.
Sure.
In retrospect, you know, looking at, I think there was actually probably some pretty good cumulative elevation, but there were no like big climbs. It's just little, you know, tiny rollers or whatever.
Yeah.
But was never made it up over 200 again. Did, you know, was kind of 160 to 180 for a while, and then
that's all.
Yeah. And then, you know, really, really eased off towards the end when it just became clear that just simply finishing was going to be, you know, worth it.
A goal in itself.
Yeah. I mean, it was always the goal, but I mean, just finishing was going to be worth like a top 15 of 40 so who started. Yeah. Even if I'm the last person to finish, I'm still okay.
You still finished.
Yeah. I finished. Yeah.
And even if it was canceled. Still finished.
It's an ITT at that point, but it always was.
Yeah.
It's a group ITT. We just all happen to start at the same time. I don't know. I mean, it just eat, ride, sleep, repeat. And then, I mean, as you kind of get further south towards the desert, nighttime ends up, you know, being much colder. You know, I mean, it was getting down to like, hey, it's 50 degrees at 9 o'clock and scheduled to fall to like 38. And that makes it more difficult to, you know, ride until 2 a.m., especially when, you know, the towns are starting to get 40, 50, 60 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. So you, and okay, here's a $30 hotel room. Fine. Okay, I'll crash, take a shower, and then go again. As far as food, it was mostly just, yeah, I mean, a lot of it's gas station stuff. Sugar. The standard kind of mid morning stop was a quart of chocolate milk, like big can, like Arizona can of like Arnold Palmer.
Oh yeah.
Probably some fruit juice, maybe a Gatorade. And yeah, that's a good, 2000 calories of primarily sugar, and the chocolate milk, a quart has like 40 grams of protein. So okay,
sure,
there's some stuff there.
Not a lot of solid food.
No, I mean, chewing gets annoying.
Yeah, and you have to shit later.
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose there's that, too. It's just, and also, I mean, a 20-minute stop, I mean, you have to sit there and chew, like, you get a big plate of eggs and bacon and hash brown, whatever, yet that takes time.
Right.
You can pour 2,000 calories into you in a 20-minute stop with a piss and the shop.
There you go.
And so that's, nice and easy.
Yeah.
And plus, you're thirsty. It's pretty easy to just kind of chug liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea. Just like all liquid diet. And obviously not all liquid, right?
I can get right on this, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the nice things about being, on a big ride and just kind of like doing, major, just putting down big miles day after day is you can pretty much just do whatever, you eat whatever you want. I mean, you're burning 5,000-10,000 calories a day. Probably, I don't know.
That's interesting because I've always taken that when I've done distance riding, like mm-hmm. I've always taken that as license to eat like a bunch of solid food.
Right.
But then I guess I'm not thinking about like the logistics or the performance. I'm not thinking about like, oh, I need to,
right.
to economize
time
on time.
Of the essence for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Except when you have to be somewhere at a certain time, but that's more negotiable.
Right. I mean, every once in a while you do find a cool place, I stopped at a bar around mile 200 in, Elk City, Illinois, I think. They ended up just talking to folks, bought me beer, gave me some pizza. Like after I rolled up and they're all out front, like, who is this guy with the bright light on the front of his bike?
Who the hell? What the fuck?
They told me that they were wondering, did the cops get new bikes? Like,
he's undercover, quick.
Was it just that they don't have like lights, or
I mean I don't know. I mean, this was probably 1 a.m. so it was a Saturday night, or technically Sunday morning. That was still on the first push of not having slept
okay
yet.
Yeah,
right.
And like, oh, where are you coming from? Chicago. Oh, cool, when'd you leave?
This morning,
5 a.m What? As time went on, it became harder to freak people out with that. I mean, not as much, but it wasn't quite as stark of like, yeah, I mean,
exactly.
That's also, you meet people who are going to ask you the questions. Okay, it's bike traveler.
Right.
When I had to talk to the cop in Waynesville, Missouri, I was coming down a hill and hit a grate a little too hard.
Uh-huh. Like a little too fast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, blew up my rear tube. And apparently in Waynesville, seeing a cyclist repairing a tube on the side of the road at like midnight or 1 a.m.
Oh.
is enough to warrant, checking in with them as a suspicious person.
Interesting. Not like for your safety, but just like, what the fuck's he doing?
Right. Where are you coming from?
I'm sure far out of their realm of experience.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Like, you have anything on your bike I need to know about? I'm like, no, like, look, literally that's all I have. And the standard cop questions are like, oh, where are you coming from? Oh, right. Chicago. Where are you going? California.
I would love for a cop to like be like, yeah, is there anything on your bike that I should know about? And be like, well, I built these myself, these wheels here, and I got this hub, and it generates the electricity for these lights. And these lights, oh, check out the rear light. Like when I brake, the rear light actually gets brighter. It works like a brake light.
You got to see the Campagnolo components here.
I saved 18 grams with the seat post.
It's a nice twist to the answer.
Yeah. Although maybe using the word grams is probably not good.
Right. Put it all in English measurements. Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Except
that's how many grams in the seat post?
Shit. Yeah. I mean, nothing.
No. Never mind. It's okay.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? How did that resolve itself?
Oh, I mean, he started talking to me, and I'm like, well, I'm going to keep fixing my tire. Is that cool? He's like, yeah. And then he's trying to radio in who I am, and we're having a hard time. And eventually he kind of realizes, admits that I'm not a threat. Like, he's kind of put something on the books of, hey, look, I did something at 1 a.m. and he wanders off and lets me kind of get on with it.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was no problem at all. I was more, I'm sitting here for a minute anyway. I'll talk to you, whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah.
How's your day going?
Yeah. Oh, hey, how's your night, man? He's, yeah. Oh, I find everybody out here. You know, I just got to check in. I'm like, well, yeah, but maybe focus on the,
I find everybody out here.
Yeah. Well, clearly I'm not. I mean, I hope clearly I'm not going to be causing any trouble. And I'm like repairing my bike on the side of the road. But
not just everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, like somebody in a car pulled up at one point, like, and stopped.
Yeah.
And he's pulling out, rolling, hey, everything all right over there? And, like, the first cop, he's undoing the snap on his, like, on his holster. Yeah. I'm sitting there going, oh, shit. Like, I'm just using the pump, like,
pump faster, pump faster.
Can I leave yet?
Am I free to go?
But, I mean, that was, like, day two or something. So you're still kind of in the early stage brain mode where, just keep riding. I mean, oh yeah, it hurts, but oh yeah, I'm missing skin there. Whatever. And it's it's fine.
We shouldn't ask any more about that, right?
No, okay. We don't need to go into that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's. I mean, your first couple of days are really gung ho and just kind of go for it, and then slowly the cumulative, as you're sleeping, I was doing 4 or 6 hours a night, slowly that kind of turns into more. Part of the fun of it is, I mean, you go in with all the plans. I had my my safe goal, my stretch goal, and then if everything goes really well, I ended up missing all three of those.
Okay.
the safe goal was 20 days, and had I stayed kind of on race pace or had the wind in Arizona not fucked with me quite as much. Had my tire not died like outside of Santa Fe, had I not had all those flats. I mean, there are a million things that you can point at okay, cool. I probably could have saved that like day and a half. But it's also, that was when you're still considering it of, being a full race from the get go, rather than just kind of, okay, it's having the kind of conscious thought pattern of partway through of, okay, well, no, it's a war of attrition at this point. Just simply simply finishing is all I need to care about.
I'm not going to let this beat me. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fucking making it to the pier.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. And, riding uphill into a 30-mile-an-hour headwind is about the most defeating, kind of task that I've come across. On a bike anyway. That eats you.
Doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah, it's less than ideal.
But it seems like it was an enriching experience at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, it was, it was interesting when you mentioned earlier the not having headphones in thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't wear headphones when I ride. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's because I really like that kind of just getting enough of your body is occupied with, keep the bike moving, steer it that way, watch out for stuff, ride the bike. And then the rest of you is just free. And you can do your thinking, listen to brain radio or whatever. Just kind of get some thinking done.
Letting your mental wheel spin.
Right. And just kind of process some stuff, kind of you contemplate life, the universe, and everything. And then you start singing Miley Cyrus. And
oddly enough.
And every once in a while, like 2 a.m, my phone lives on the bars because that's my GPS. And I will play music from the bars every now and again, just on the speaker. And the good song is worth an extra 5-10 miles an hour pace. It's nice.
At which you achieve a charge?
Was that?
Is that at which you achieve a charge?
No, just or no. Like, I mean, you're moving along, but then if you put on the right song, it helps
motivate you a little bit further.
Yep, yeah. You're sitting there, you're struggling to keep 10 or 7 or 4 or whatever. You put on the right track, and all of a sudden, okay, cool, we can actually push that up to 10 or 15. And,
I see.
Get it going for a little bit.
Nice.
At one point that was a random Christmas song my brother recorded a while back. Another time it literally was Miley. Riding on the shoulder of I-40 going into I think that was actually going into Barstow.
Nice.
But
which is one of your names.
One of that is is one of the names.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is, it was neat. I was kind of hoping to find like a Barstow Route 66 shirt, but we rolled up at like 9 p.m. and I was like, I don't care. Just get a hotel and
you can mail order that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and then the next, the thought was, I mean, the last several days were, very much, oh, we'll wake up, we'll go to this town. It's like 150 miles. That'll be fine. No. It's okay. We'll wake up, we'll get to Barstow, and then we'll just ride until we, don't sleep again until you get to the pier.
That was
literally my plan. Like, that was actually part of one of the original plans. And I was like, I'm going to salvage a little bit of the original plan. And then that was when I cheated. I started up, you run from Barstow into, this is when we deviated off of the official 66 or semi-official 66. Instead of going to San Bernardino, kind of went up over the mountains there, with, Pacific Highway or something.
Okay.
Through Angeles National Forest.
Ooh. Pretty?
Yeah. Oh, it was gorgeous. Riding through like suburbs of like Victorville or something, like it just shitty desert towns. Like the roads suck. I mean, it's not like Texas chip seal, but it's a frontage road to like busy ass California highway.
Yeah.
Not necessarily fun to ride on.
Yeah.
And then, then you have to go, bomb down a section of I-15 on the shoulder, which is like the sixth, interstate you've been on, over the course of this. Because there are big chunks of it where there are no other roads to get between the places. So you're allowed to ride on the interstate shoulder.
Yeah.
Cause the places where they just literally built it over 66, you can't just say, oh no, you need a car to go here now. There are sections where you're allowed to ride.
There you go.
But being allowed to ride and like
it still doesn't make it
being
fun.
Comfortable to ride, right?
For sure.
Well, I mean, it's not so much the uncomfortable thing because you have decent pavement most of the time, and there's a real size
like
shoulder,
a sense of sense of safety and whatever.
Yeah.
But
I mean, honestly, I never felt too scared on fearful on the interstate because the shoulders are wide enough, the pavement's nice enough. Really, the big worry is all the wires from the truckers' tires exploding.
Yep.
I mean, I never personally had a flat on the interstate, but saw a bunch of them and like did have to pull some stuff out and whatever.
It's like daily maintenance on your bike, just going over like how much should I pick up,
right?
How much is working its way into the rubber of the tire right now?
And after like 2.5 weeks, daily maintenance becomes, I should probably do that. I was really good about lubing my chain every day at the beginning because I was doing a dry lube, and then slowly became I haven't done that in a couple of days. I should probably check that.
It's about time.
Yeah. Oh, I actually have a who's the truck driver donor that I met that one time?
Todd, the truck driver.
Yeah. Because I noticed that when a lot of trucks would go by, you'd hear the psh of the air brake releasing. I'm curious if that's a manual thing, if that's like a hey fuck you or a hey how's it going, or if it's just like they happen to hit the brakes when they went by.
Yeah.
So I am actually curious about that because that was consistent where a lot of trucks would go by and you'd hear the psh.
Yeah. Well, my guess would be perhaps they're because it's an air brake system.
Yep.
And the psh sound is the air, like it's got an overflow or like a valve to let excess air out so that they don't blow up their own air tanks.
Right.
Because they're generating air all the time while they're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you use air from that tank, you're not going to hear that because you're depleting the air. So that probably means
that some of they're pulling on like
they're
a choke lever or
not
something.
Stopping. I would guess it's probably not intentional.
Yeah. Yeah,
it'd be my guess, but Todd could weigh in on that.
I'd be curious about that because it was one of those things where you're wondering.
I mean, there is a manual release for the air.
That's
that
true.
You could, I guess, conceivably.
Yeah.
If you wanted to say hi, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm just curious if that's like a trucker code thing or something.
Right. Yeah, I've never heard about that, but I'd be curious if it was.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I had no issue on the interstate. A couple guys had issues with misinformed state. Police officers.
Oh, sure.
You're not allowed to ride here. Well, yeah, I am.
Actually, I am.
Yeah. No. You got to go on that road over there. Okay. And there was one section in right before Amboy, California, in the desert where they were doing construction.
Oh, yeah.
And I hiked through one pit.
Oh.
And then the next one, there was actually like they were pouring concrete in the pit.
It's like an actual pit dug into the
yeah,
road or whatever.
Yeah, well, okay. And they're doing contraflow on the other side, and it's like nighttime. It's dark as shit. It's the middle of the Mojave.
Right.
I don't care how many lights I have. I'm not fucking with contraflow traffic on the interstate.
Seriously.
In the middle of the Mojave.
Near pits being filled with concrete.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the one. That was my only unofficial detour.
Okay.
Where I actually, strangely enough, detoured onto actual 66.
Ah. Or
historic highway, blah, blah, blah.
There you go.
And then caught up to the route right before Amboy.
Nice.
But yeah, it was another, like, so 15, like, outside of Barstow was, you know, a little bombed down, and then there's this really, like, a mile of, like, again, it's construction.
Yeah.
They have the Jersey barriers up, and then, like, it looks like, oh, cool, there'll be a bike lane back there. No, it's, like, very much just piles of rubble and bullshit and, like, signs.
Okay.
I actually put a video up of this. I'm like, yeah, at least it's pretty, kinda. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, the desert mountains.
Yeah.
It was kind of pretty, but it's sunset. And I started up this road at about sunset, Lone Pine Canyon, going up towards like Wrightwood or Wrightville. It's PCT town.
Okay.
But going up this hill, I mean, it's the first proper climb in a while. Where,
yeah,
like,
to the Pacific Crest.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it's the last big climb. We've got like 120 miles left on the whole thing. But it's this twisty road, speed limit's 55. There is no margin, or the margin that's there is like 2 inches of sand.
No room for you on the road.
No room.
Yeah.
And I've got all the lights on. I've got the super shiny coat, but still getting run off the road, you know. And then I'm walking up the side, trying to figure out how far the next town is, no reception. Trying to count tick marks on ride the GPS, whatever. Like, and it's just, I think, and then at one point, where I kind of made the decision that I was going to start hitchhiking or try to thumb a ride in was this, like, I'm on the side of the road, like, going, what the fuck? Like, really just contemplating my life choices that led me to be in this situation. Yeah. Like, do I put the bivy up on the side? No, it's like fucking just pumice.
Right.
You know, and then I'm in the middle of nowhere. And this old timey desert guy kind of calls out of the darkness, oh, you'll pay with your life riding up Lone Pine at night. And it's just like, oh.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's creepy as fuck.
It was really fucked up. Like,
just like appears.
Yeah. And it, like in my, I still don't know if it was like an actual desert accent.
No,
like, or if
it was up
like,
to that house no
yeah,
more.
Yeah, right. Like, or if it was like some old Vermonter that just kind of like appeared, like somehow to just warn me off. Like,
yeah.
But, or if he was real or not. I mean, that could very well have just
an apparition.
Just like the only, like, just, oh, you'll pay with your life. And I'm like, holy shit, fuck that. You better get going. It's only 4 miles to town. Oh, fuck, dude. Like, so I put the thumb out and hitched 4 miles into town.
There we go.
So I cheated for 4 miles of it, and I didn't end up going back to ride those in the morning.
I would say that's probably not cheating. Probably by almost everyone's reckoning.
Yeah, well, and then I got to town, and caught up with James Folsom, who'd been, you know, he had a better pace than me that day, so I was a bit up ahead.
Yeah.
And he was at the bar, and apparently one of the guys at the bar saw him. Oh, you're on a bike? Yeah, no. Is that your buddy back there, the guy I almost hit? Before I showed up, I had been referred to as the guy I almost hit.
Oh, shit.
Wow. So I think by all reckonings, I made the good choice.
Yes.
Putting that thumb out. And, like,
right.
Met some really cool ladies in an adventure van who drove me up, gave me a bottle of water and
there
shit.
There you go.
But,
you can't argue with that.
Yeah. I mean, I should have gone back and ridden those miles, but at the same point, like, I mean, if there ends up being a GC, I put a thing on the page or the racer group, like, give me 2 hours per mile, like, relegation time. But,
to make it fair when they figure out who did what.
Right. I mean, if there ends up being a GC or whatever, I mean, because, you know.
What's a GC?
General classification.
Okay.
Just, like, leaderboard, basically.
I see.
But, you know, being that it was canceled and that it was just a whole bunch of ITTs at the end anyway, like.
And ITT means what?
Individual time trial.
Okay, gotcha.
Sorry, I forget that I'm using acronyms.
That's all good. It's all good.
But yeah, it's that was part of the kind of. I had a point and then I lost it.
It was keeping yourself safe.
Right.
So it wasn't all about it wasn't all about the performance at a certain point. You have to
take care
of yourself.
I mean, at that point I was the Lantern anyway, the Lantern Rouge, last place. Team DFL. So, I mean, it was like, I'm here for the adventure anyway. Like, despite all the dreams of placing, that was, you know, very clearly, you know, when Jay Peterberry shows up with the HED, you know, carbon full disc brake rear wheel and like no stuff.
Oh man.
Yeah, I think he's gonna you know, probably beat me. And he ended up like about half, I think I might have doubled his time.
Okay.
He was like 10 days and change. I was 21 days and change.
Well, so, as we wrap up, maybe that's a good thing.
Oh,
to,
yeah.
Someone out there is screaming that we haven't talked about your gear yet. So just real quick, what were you riding and what were the things that helped you do what you did?
I was on the horse with no legs, which is the Fairdale build up. Kept the SRAM Rival one by Groupon, which in retrospect, might have geared that up a little bit. That's the gravel gearing, basically. So 42 in the front, 10 to 42 in the back, 11 speed. Dynamo front hub, charging stuff, which charging system actually gave me a bunch of shit on this one, but that was more like batteries getting cold, I think, rather than the charging stuff. I had the full bag kit. I actually had a handlebar bag on this one because I brought a sleeping kit. Unlike Steen's, where I just said, yeah, sleeping bags suck. So that was a good one. Even on this one, I did end up spending a lot of time indoors just because it was cheap and cold and easy.
Yeah.
Having that was nice.
Nice.
Yeah. I did change the tires out. I was on some Schwalbe one, the 700 by 28s, which one of them I had to replace about 40 miles outside of Santa Fe. Actually, I had to call a bike shop and convince them to bring me a tire
deliver
40 miles outside of town.
Yeah.
So thank you to the broken spoke.
There we go.
And it was actually great. I caught him like 5 minutes after they closed. Hey, before I even start, I know this is asinine and I'm asking a huge favor, but
yeah,
I'm stuck outside of town. I need stuff. Can I have a tire, two tubes, and a patch kit?
There you go.
And they brought it to me. So that was awesome.
Wow, yeah. That's really cool.
I think my old housemate who lives in Santa Fe now has been there.
Cool. Yeah. I did end up stopping into the shop briefly.
Cool shop.
When I rolled through. Yeah, really cool shop. They hooked it up, so that was nice.
Very cool of them. That's like way above and beyond.
Oh yeah. So that was great. And then that tire and the original front made it the whole way to the end.
Nice.
On 28s, which was neat.
There we go.
Yep.
See that, all those guys hanging on, they got what they wanted.
gear.
Dude, I'm glad you're home, David. Thank you so much for thank you for coming in to tell us about the trip and all that.
Thanks for having me, man.
Glad you're okay.
It's made it. It was just a bike ride.
Do you have time to hang out for our mail-in news?
I do.
Fabulous. All right.
Oh yeah.
And do you want another beer?
Yeah. Hey, where do those come from, by the way?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked.
Holy shit. We honestly didn't even... Oh, man.
I'm a big fan of the beer mongers at Southeast Division and 12th because they're the kind of people that, after you've ridden halfway across the country, you want to sit down with a nice cold beverage and reward yourself. And they are there. They're open 365 days a year. Live sports games with sound on the television so you can think about something else.
Occasionally dot watching, too, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
at least once.
If you got friends doing a bike race and they've got a dot, you can see that dot. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good place. I'm glad you reminded me. But, yes, the Beer Mongers in Southeast Division of 12th is where I would always go to get myself a tasty beverage.
So
let's get you another one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know where they are?
Yes,
they are in the fridge.
That is a correct assumption.
Sure. Aaron, you?
I'll take that squirt that's in there, I guess.
There we go. And I'll take one of those tasty, there's a stout in there, isn't there? Unless you want that one.
Nope. I will stout ate my big game.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'll figure it out.
All right. And while he's getting those, let's open up with our headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
Calendar is part of our headlines.
Yes. I missed so much stuff over the week. It's already the 14th. Can you believe that?
I cannot believe it. And yet it is true.
Yes. That just means like we have bad imagination, I think. Right?
Well, I consciously chose to stay indoors for some of it. I was like, I just want to dig in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first up on our calendar, November 19th.
19th.
Today's already the 14th.
That's right, so it's coming right up. This weekend.
Cranksgiving.
What?
At VeloCult.
This weekend?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Not too late. It's not too late to assemble a team. That's the thing. You can do it right up to the end.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
will.
with your hosts. Well, I mean, it's hosted by Puddle Cycle. Honestly, we should give all credit to Tom.
Oh, for sure.
Puddle Cycle for Tom McTye. Putting this all together.
Who, by the way, if you're curious what Puddle Cycle is, he came in sometime back, and we've got an interview with him. So
yes.
If you go to thesprocketpodcast.com, there's a search bar. Just type in
it's
Puddle
in
Cycle. You'll find it.
It's in the 200s
somewhere. Yeah. You know, I specifically avoided trying to say which episode or when it happened, but back in the day.
Somewhere in the 200s, I believe.
Yeah.
So you've only got 100 to search through.
Tom McTye. He's a great guy.
We also have a search. We also have a search. Oh, that is.
We do have a search area.
Yeah.
You can do that with your hands. You can bang, 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 bang.
Ping, ping, ping. Bang, bang, bang.
That's how I type.
So that's coming up November 19th. November 26th.
Another Puddle Cycle ride.
No, the 24th is Thanksgiving.
That's correct.
Okay. 2 days after Thanksgiving. Puddle Cycle, off we go to Lake Oswego. Oh, all these rhymes are going
to
kill me.
I think I'm supposed to. Yeah.
Anybody want a peanut?
That's right. We have a bunch of good stuff on the calendar. There's something happening almost every weekend.
Yeah.
And I haven't added the stuff that comes after the new year or even really in the month of December yet. So puddlecycle.com. Yeah. What else?
December 4th, Puddle Cycle, Symbols of the Season at Piddick Mansion. He's really he's challenging some people here.
Yeah. Christmas. Yeah.
Getting out up to Piddick Mansion.
I thought you meant like celebrating a holiday, but yeah.
No, I mean like getting your ass up that high.
It's a climbing ride.
Yes. That'd be cool, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nothing for us, right? Am I right, guys?
That's right. Yeah, it's fine. We work hard, yeah.
December 11th, Kimmy Cross at the Beer Mongers.
That's right. It's the first of cyclocross season, or Alleycross, I guess, right? It's an Alleycross race with a cyclocross.
Alleycross. Part Alleycat. Part... Cycle cross.
You did it so well. You step up where I cannot.
Half man, half bear man pig.
Yes. So we're going to be the Black Knights for that event. We're going to be running around giving out good fortune and taking interviews. So,
yes.
Come on out, and if you're near Portland, that's a thing. And if you're not near Portland, next year.
Get your ass out here. I don't know. What are you trying
to
say?
Or go to Gainesville, Florida.
Oh.
What's happening on February 27th?
If you happen to be in Gainesville, Florida, I was wondering where you're going with that.
I'm going to Gainesville, man.
February 27th, Menagerie in Motion, Kinetic Derby. Not too late to get your tickets.
That's right.
By plane. I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do that because I can't afford to travel there in February.
Oh.
And you're not going to do that because you can't afford to travel there in February.
I can't afford to travel anywhere.
Well, but you're working on it, hypothetically.
I'm getting there. Yes. I took on a second job to do this.
That's impressive. So anyways, those are things on the calendar, things to know. And Menagerie of Motion, again, Kinetic Derby. It's, it's rideable art. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Yes.
So, actual headlines.
Actual headlines. This coming to us from Kickstarter. How did you get wind of this?
This was shared with me on Facebook by a friend.
Okay. This is Nexo Tires. Flat free bikes forever.
Forever.
You could have used this here.
That would have been saved a lot of money on tubes.
Nothing ruins a ride or commute faster than a flat. We've searched the globe to find a better tire. While trying not to overstate the awesomeness of our discoveries, we think we're offering two solutions that rival the innovation of toilet paper.
I don't know what you use your tires for.
Pretty close. I certainly wouldn't use it for toilet paper.
Yes. But no, this
is...
Get
him spinning first.
This is a really interesting idea. I think one of them is basically a tubeless tire. It's not really rubber, but like a compound, right?
They're all tubeless tires.
I guess you're right, yeah.
They're not pneumatic, right?
They're not pneumatic.
They are not pneumatic.
There's no air inside of them. No pressurized air.
No pressurized air.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the way some of them fit, so this one, it kind of just looks like a regular tire.
Right, except it's some other compound that's not rubber.
Yeah, and it shows you, like right here,
how that
it fits onto your regular rim.
It's a solid rubber tire again, basically.
Yeah.
Except it's not rubber. It's a compound.
It's a compound.
Yeah.
So it's a compound.
I wonder what the...
There's another one. I don't see it. It's... Yeah.
Okay. There's the other one down there with the... Yeah.
If they can show it without it being in motion, maybe.
Scroll down just a little bit farther on that other one.
Oh, yeah.
because
listeners, you're gonna love this.
Evertires. This is a really amazing deal. It's about the same size and loft as the types of tires that I would use, but there's no tube inside.
No, and
apparently it's just this rigid structure. Again, a compound that's not rubber that allows you to do the same sorts of things you would do with a tire.
My two questions are kind of rotational weight and ride quality.
Right.
Like that's going to be the big thing with the. I mean, like the solid one, cool. You never get flats, but if it's a rough ride,
right.
if you hit chip seal and it's beating the crap out of you. I mean,
right. And they claim that it is as comfortable as an inflated tire.
They would.
But it's worth checking it out for yourself.
To, right? Right?
Yeah.
No, I am really curious at it.
Another big selling point is that they say it's light. It's, if not the same weight, lighter than the tires you currently use.
Okay, so let's go over here to their site here. What type of bike are you riding? Fixie, comfort, road, cruiser, hybrid commuter, electric. So let's just choose road.
Okay.
Here.
I would like a smoother ride.
Do you want ever tires, easier to install, last longer, cost more? Or Nexo, smoother ride, less expensive, requires two people to install. That's weird.
It's a good thing it doesn't get flats.
That's the solid one.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Wow, they have a very in-depth sort of checking
out. Yeah, kind of like how you do this.
They do make 16s,
measure
it turns out.
Measure the
Zubars.
Inside edge of your rim. You've got like a little... need help removing your tire?
And don't laugh. Some people don't know how to do this, and yet they also ride bikes. Yeah,
yeah. I probably shouldn't laugh. It's one of those things I take for granted.
Sure. Well, and we're here for those people as well as for the people who can. Yeah.
But learn how to do that. It's really easy.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would guess that most people who listen to this show do know how to take a tire off their bike.
I imagine.
If you're listening to a bicycle-specific podcast, more than likely, this is a thing that you are already interested in. Yeah. So anyways, this is a really interesting thing. So we should move on. But
I guess so. Sorry. I was seeing
it's all good.
What type of ever tires I need. Oh, I still have to do some more clicking.
How many gears do you have? How does that change my tire?
Bike lanes. Coming to us. Oh, crap. I forgot the link here. This is coming to us from
Fast Company.
Fast Company. Bike lanes may be the most cost-effective way to improve public health.
I believe that.
Build bike lanes, get healthy citizens.
Unless you ride it faster than 9 miles an hour.
Right.
That's an inside joke,
if you're a woman.
Right. Yes. That was that study we talked about a couple episodes back. But.
Yes. I still disagree. Anyhow, a new study from researchers at Columbia University's Mailman School of Health shows just how big those benefits can be. Per dollar spent constructing bike lanes is a cheap way to improve public health. For instance, back in 2005, New York City spent $10 million on curbing traffic as part of the federally funded Safe Routes to School program. Sidewalks were widened, bike lanes constructed, and traffic lights rephased to suit pedestrians.
Rephased.
The net social benefit of these changes, the study's authors estimate to be $230 million.
No, that's not
city
nothing.
Spent $10 million. Social benefit of $230 million.
Yeah. So if you like social benefit, this is a win.
Do the math.
Yeah.
Because I'm too lazy to. It's not really my purview.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. And this is also interesting.
Yeah. From the Daily Mail. The bike lock that stinks. Skunk Lock can spray thieves with noxious chemicals that make them vomit and ruins their clothes.
Wow.
I mean, I've vomited on my clothes before, and I don't think I've ruined them.
I could have been this, yeah. Is this thing on?
Is this thing on?
No.
Airplane food. What's up with that, right?
What's the deal with? Pike Box.
This is a fascinating idea. Yeah, I heard about this a couple weeks back on a podcast I like.
Developed a proprietary compound called Formula D1 that is detectable through even some of the strongest gas masks, which not only attacks the thief, but is sure to cause a scene that makes people look in the direction of the crime. This chemical is pressurized inside a hollow chamber throughout the U-lock, which can only be punctured when cut into with an angle grinder.
Okay, so if someone's trying to steal your bike by grinding off your bike lock,
yes,
this chamber is going to disperse D1, Formula D1.
Formula D1.
And it makes you vomit. Like, it's that bad.
Well, it makes the bike thief.
Makes the perpetrator or whoever.
That's
like
a way better idea.
And the suckers who are walking by at the time.
It's like
anybody who's walking by and doesn't care that the guy is angle grinding the bike lock, you get to puke too.
Right. So apathy.
Like, yeah.
What is that grinding sound? Oh my God!
Yeah. I think this is a really fascinating idea. I want to say kind of like if you sign up to be a police officer and you have to get like pepper sprayed or something, for empathy, or I want to say these folks did that with this.
they breathe their own compound D1
and they did vomit, as far as I know.
Oh, like you that was in their report.
That was a story I remember hearing. I could be wrong about that, but I think it's a fascinating idea. I think,
I want to see somebody.
It's just the sort of thing that, like, again, somebody said that bike locks only keep honest people honest. You know, like, if somebody's really determined to do this, then I guess if the gas masks don't work, maybe you got bigger problems than just the thief. Like, it's again, like you say, it's going to be all the passersby and everything. But I do think, like, that's definitely something that's going to stop someone in their tracks.
I mean, there is that argument of, like, you know, higher security just makes more creative criminals. But in my opinion, like, there's the opportunist, and then there's, you know, the career thief, so to speak.
Sure.
And the career thief isn't necessarily going to make a career out of thieving bikes, unless, I mean, there are a couple out there, and there was one reported on the Oregonian, I believe, maybe Bike Portland some time ago. But it's not a good life. You know, it's not certainly something you're going to retire with. There's no Italian job for bike thieves.
Right. Know? Maybe there should be. Except we don't want that, right? Yeah. So we don't want it to be
the
cool.
Don Corleone of fucking bike thieves.
I just need
I need more tires.
Just one last job and you're out.
No,
I was already said I was out.
Just about to retire.
I need a Moto Bouquet.
Yeah.
And a Bridgestone. No, I really want to see somebody have both the puking lock and the shotgun bike defense thing.
Oh, yeah.
So when they're done, and then let them get away with it. They finish puking. They cut the rest of the lock
off.
They
figure it out.
Then they start riding, and a shotgun shell goes off. Like, when the wheel turns far enough, that's how you fuck with somebody.
At that point, they'd be like, okay, I'm done.
Right.
I'm
fuck
done.
Everything. Yeah. I'm going to church. Like, I'm going to church.
Well, the sticker does say death to bike thieves, but I think there's also something to be said for, like, when I took my sister into a smoky bar back in the day and ruined her cashmere sweater. Because she wasn't into smoke. It's very much like that. Like, if this smell is on your clothes, you will be marked. It's right. It's the scarlet V, I guess, for vomit. But yeah, we may not have a foolproof security system that will cause you to vomit, but what we do have
is the hiccups. Oh. Yes. So this tweeted to us from @JimChristensen sends us a piece of, kind of bicycle and TriMet history.
Yeah. This is awesome because back in the day, it used to be before just any old person could put their bicycle on the front of a TriMet bus on the bike rack, you had to go take a class and get a permit. And he has one of those that he took a picture of and sent to us.
To load your bike onto the front of a bus.
You had to show the driver your card before you put your bike on the front of the bus.
awesome.
It's like,
that's awesome.
I know how to do this. I'm okay to do this.
Like, trust me, I'm a professional.
Right.
Exactly.
I wonder if there's, so he has one apparently. I wonder if there's other people who are carrying them and
still have them.
Like,
I wonder if there's anybody who still flashes those
right,
the bus
exactly.
drivers and they just that's, go, ah, fucking loony. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And the driver was hired like 10 years after they stopped doing that.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What is that?
That's pretty cool. That was good to see.
And speaking of people sending us pictures, MacNurse David sent us his pictures of his patch and also where he put it. I can't say I would recommend that as a approved placement.
It's not an approved location, but it's an eye patch. It does make, it gives him a piratey look.
Yes.
It is, it is over it his is left
a
eye.
Hilarious placement.
Yeah, I love it.
And then
the patches are sweet, by the way.
Also yes. came to us via mail. I put this in mail as opposed to headlines.
Yes. Actually, I think, David, you were the one that told us about this at first, the sleep bus.
The sleep bus.
That goes between San Francisco and L.A.
Oh, yeah. That was like ages ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
They sent us some pictures, some construction pictures.
Oh, yeah, they're building out their sleep bus.
Oh, sweet.
And
did you guys get on like the list or something?
I guess
or?
I am.
All right. Nice.
There's a picture of them like building up their little... you know, sleep berths there, whatever you call those.
It looks like a European sleeping car in which, you know, you just like climb into a bunk or whatever.
Yeah, and there's the bus. Oh, look, you can climb in through the back door right there.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have roll-on bike access.
I wonder. This is a good question.
They said in the email or on their website maybe that they have plenty of room for bikes.
That's cool.
I don't know what specifically that means.
Right.
But
when I got to LA, I was trying to figure out like if I could make a stop and Frisco area, like see my sister down there, and I was couldn't make the train stop there. It turns out it goes through Oakland, not
yes.
you know, not Berkeley,
not to the city itself.
Yes, yes. And the algorithm wasn't smart enough to figure that out. But anyway, yeah, that's I'd forgotten about that. That's it's glad to see it's coming together.
Just to summarize, if you haven't heard about it before, it's a bus that runs between San Francisco and L.A. and
you can sleep on it
overnight run. Yeah, and so instead of like sitting on the bus like a chump, you can like spread out. You know, it's all about relaxing, and it's an overnight run. So you could, you know, say you live somewhere and then you have to be somewhere else the next day. You can get your night's sleep while you're traveling.
Yes,
for probably much cheaper than the same, you know, like an Amtrak berth or something like that, or private jet. So yeah. Also, as I recall, I want to say they let you sleep in. Once they get to the destination, they're like, you don't have to get out of here till 9. Like, they roll in at 7 or something, then you got a couple hours to, like, lay in bed if you want. Yeah.
Oh.
So they're building up their fleet, where I think they did this with, like, a prototype vehicle or something. They're actually building the buses now. They're going to make it happen.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Awesome.
We should talk to these guys sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Portland, Seattle next.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Seattle, I mean, Portland, or even San Fran to Portland.
Yeah.
Seriously. That would be an overnight. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like a two-night sleep.
Right.
Yeah. With a stop off in
Shasta.
Mount Shasta. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, I like that this is happening. So, well, hey, we should wrap this up.
I guess so.
Good show. David, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome. Welcome back. And good luck on whatever it is you do next.
Yeah, it'll be something.
Yeah. Yeah, you guarantee it.
Got to keep going, right?
That's right. All right. Well, Aaron?
Let's do this.
Thank you, sir. Let's do this.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors. Logan Smith, Johnny K., Shadowfoot.
Katharina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson.
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson.
Cameron Lean, Richard Wodzinski, Tim Mooney.
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly.
Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen Miller.
Todd Parker, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt.
Zoe Campagna, Dave Knows, Chris Smith,
Christy Kaster, Caleb Jenkins, J.P. Cooley, by the way, who got married. Congratulations,
oh, yeah.
J.P.
Congratulations. Peanut Butter Jar, Matt, Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew in Colorado,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, the King of Division,
Josh Sisson, Richard G., Guthrie Straw,
Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green,
MacNurse David, Catherine Minchin, Nathan Poulton,
Chris Rawson, Rory in Michigan, Michael Flournoy,
Jeremy Kitchen, who is in New Zealand, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
David Belays, Tim Coleman,
Mr. T,
thank
Harry
words,
Hugel,
Mr. T.
Ed Whitman,
EJ Finneran, Paul Culbertson, Subbert.
EJ just had a birthday as well.
Oh, happy birthday.
And all of our former donors who helped us get this far. Seriously, we appreciate it. It means a ton. And you know what? You know, give if you can. Don't feel like you have to give if you can't afford it. But do what you got to do.
Maybe if you're saving for a trip, plane trip, you know.
Listen to your conscience.
Yes.
Now brush your teeth.
And go to bed.